This morning is the feast of the most holy body and blood of Christ. It's the feast of Corpus Christi. And it's a feast in which we celebrate Jesus giving himself to us truly present in his body and in his blood in the Eucharist. That it's a sacrament of sacrificial love which we receive. And this sacrament of the Eucharist is intimately connected with the resurrection. That we receive Jesus in his body, in his blood, in his soul, and in his divinity into our body and blood and soul. So that after we die, he might rise us up so that he who entered into us might bring us into his life. In this sacrament, he enters into us so that we might enter into his life. And that's what we receive in the Eucharist. We receive the resurrected body and blood of Jesus. We encounter it in the same way that Thomas, after the resurrection, put his hand into his side. We encounter Jesus. And that's why he's truly present in the Eucharist as well, so that we can encounter him. Not just in our mind, yes, there. Not just in our hearts, yes, there as well, but in our bodies, so that he can save all of it. Not just our souls, which fly off to heaven. No, no, no. It's our body, blood, and soul, which enters into heaven, which is entering into the life of God. Because the life of God is entering into us in this sacrament. This morning begins as well, here in the United States, a 3-year Eucharistic revival. It's 3 years in which you'll hear a lot about this most central mystery, the Eucharist, which is known as the source, the beginning, and also the summit, the very height of our faith. It'll be a 3-year Eucharistic revival throughout this country. And where Jesus is adored in the Eucharist, and you see this all over, where he is adored in the Eucharist, hearts are transformed. Lives are actually changed. And saints are made through this sacrament. Bishop Kagan, he ordained 5 young men to the priesthood on Monday, but that's not even the most exciting thing he did this week. 2 days later, on Wednesday, he announced something which is very rare. He announced that he was opening the cause for canonization, which is the first step to becoming a recognized saint in the church. He was opening the cause of canonization for a young woman from our diocese, from here in Western North Dakota. Michelle Dupont, who died just 7 years ago at the age of 31. And she had, and I know some of you have met her and you even knew her. You knew her. You probably know her parents. Her mom was a Wanner, is a Wanner. Well, now was, because Dupont. But the Duponts, the Wanners, Minnie Dickinson connections, you know her family. You probably met her at some point in her life. And her life is very ordinary in many ways. But she had an extraordinary faith and a joyful love. She grew up just 50 miles east of here, just north of Glen Olin in Haymarsh. She loved Lord of the Rings. And she went to college at NDSU to study horticulture. And it was there that the flame of faith, which she had received at home from her family and from her faith, that had been nurtured at her little church, St. Clement's, that it was there at college where that faith became fanned into a great flame because she encountered Jesus. She experienced and encountered him as being very real, as being alive. And she encountered him in a particularly powerful way in the Eucharist. And so right after she graduated college, she went to be a missionary in the hardest missionary field in the whole world. She went into college campuses. She joined FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. She served in Nebraska, South Dakota, in her last years as a FOCUS missionary. We're at the University of Mary in Bismarck. In her last 2 years then, she worked for the Diocese of Bismarck as the Adult Faith Formation Coordinator, and she was the person who really launched the Thirst Conference in this diocese. She found out in December of 2014 she had stage 4 terminal cancer, and she died the following year on Christmas Day of 2015. A very ordinary but beautiful life. But it was in the last year of her life where God worked his most powerful witness through her. First, I just want to say this, though, just to put this into context, right? Do you know how many saints have been canonized from the United States? You don't need more than 2 hands to count. There's 10 American saints. Only 3 of those have been born in the United States. This is just the first step in that process. It's a long road. But it's so exciting. And it's witness that God does powerful things and he brings his light into the world, especially in times of great darkness. And if there's one person who I met in my life who is most saint-like, just in the faith that she held on to, it was this woman, Michelle. Very quickly, after her death, their farm out by Haymarsh became something of a place of retreat. People would go there to pray. In my last year at the University of Mary, at the very beginning of the school year, we brought the group of about 15 students who are in our university ministry team. So the students who are helping to minister to other students on campus, we went and began the school year with a short retreat out on their farm. And her mom and her younger sister shared with us more about Michelle's life. They showed us this beautiful slideshow and talked about that last year of her life. And it was a final year in which her heroic faith was shown in her surrender to God's will. That her life wasn't about her, but she knew that her life was for Christ and for others. And she lived that with joy. But here was the thing that struck me the most. In the midst of her last year, in which there was great suffering, she recognized too that her suffering wasn't just for her either. Her life wasn't her own, but even her suffering wasn't her own. That she knew it was suffering that was meant for others, meaning suffering that she offered to God for the sake of others, as a prayer for others. Even that wasn't her own. And she lived that somehow with this beautiful joy. And then even her death wasn't her own. But it was for Christ and for others. There was nothing special about Michelle in the sense of her having some supernatural strong will. Like she was just born, you know, holier than other people. You know, like some people are born 6'8" and athletic as can be. It's like if they just apply that, they'll probably get to the NBA. Whereas me, as much as I applied all my basketball skills, I wasn't getting there.
Like some people are just born holier. That's not true. It's not true at all. And it wasn't true with her. She didn't have some supernatural strong will, but she had strength from Jesus that she knew she continually had to trust in and turn to. And it was the strength, especially her mom spoke about in her final year of receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. The priest would bring the Eucharist out to their farm and she would receive it. And that's where she received all of her strength. And it's what each of us needs to become the saints that we were created to be. 2 months after she found out about her diagnosis, you know, she was still working for the diocese, and the final thing she wrote to us, literally to us, to the Diocese of Bismarck, the people here, was a letter called Seeking Holiness in the Ordinary. And I just want to read a small part of it. Because she writes to us, "You were made to be a saint. Do you believe that? Do you think you can do it? I want to remind you that there's no doubt in God's mind that you can do it. He made you for it. The only way you can get to heaven is if you are a saint. But isn't it true that at times when we read some of the stories of the saints, we can get a bit discouraged, thinking we have to be just like them and do the things they did in order to be among the favored ones of God?" And she gives a bunch of examples of saints doing these incredible things. But she says, "My point is that sometimes we can get caught up in thinking that holiness is imitating everything the saints did. And we forget that God is calling each of us to follow him and to carry out the mission he gives us in a unique way. We shouldn't and we can't judge our holiness by comparing ourselves to others, whether they're saints in heaven or our neighbors here on earth. God is giving each of us the grace we need to be holy in the everyday, ordinary tasks of our lives. Not all of us are called to move to China to be missionaries. Some are given that call. But all Christians are called to be missionaries where we are at and to share God's love with the people he puts in our path each day. This is something we all have the capability of doing with God's grace and with his strength, which he gives to us in our body and in our soul." I want to close just by pointing out this one last thing. The Eucharist is the sacrament of sacrificial love. And we become what we receive in the Eucharist. We're meant to become what we receive. One of the things I love most about distributing communion here in this specific church is this medallion, which I stand on every time I offer Jesus to people in the Eucharist. Many of you know the account, right? It's a medallion of a pelican giving of its own flesh and blood to its young. Because during times of drought and famine, a mother pelican will take and pick at its own flesh and will give its own flesh and blood to its young so that they might have life. It will give of itself for them to live, which is sacrificial love itself. It's what this sacrament is. And when we receive that, we're given the grace and the strength to become that as well, to give our lives, our flesh, our blood, our soul to others so that they might have life. We receive from God so that we can become what we receive, and so that we can become the saints we were created to be.